faculty, staff, students, and especially our guests who are with us this day. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the section read before from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, especially these words, "We urge you, brothers, to do so more and more." St. Paul, in this letter, takes us to the various earliest days of the church. Most scholars believe that this is the first New Testament epistle written around 51 AD. And as we look into that window, we see several things. We see, first of all, Christians who have, by God's grace, embraced the news of the crucified Lord. And very quickly, even at their birth now as a church, they fall under severe persecution. And as we see the apostle respond with words of encouragement, we also catch a hint that winds were blowing to release that tension. They were Christians who believed, and they wanted to see and to behold all that God would do. And so some of their attention was beginning to move from Christology to chronology. They were wondering exactly when and how soon they could see, in all of its detail, God's victory. St. Paul's words don't go to chronology. In fact, they go to the present. They go to the life of the church as it's being lived, and he says, "Now what you're doing, do more of that." In other words, stay at your post. And that counsel to stay and to do more of what we are doing is as apt and as applicable to each of us as it was to the Thessalonians. How patient are we in our baptism and in the wonderful news of Christ's glorious victory? Don't we too, at times, even though we're not under outward persecution, long for more? We want the kingdom to come with power, and we want to see the enemies of God destroyed and his church live freely and fully. Those longings are natural. None of us, I think, is always patient. I have a classmate, a good pastor, who, if any of you had a pastoral need, would take time day or night to be with you. He would give you the time that you need regardless. And his people love him for that quality. But I've been with that same pastor in his car when the car just ahead of us didn't go when the light went from red to green. And suddenly this model of patience became the most impatient and zealous horn honker one could imagine. Most of us are like that, aren't we? Patient sometimes, but impatient, for example, when a golf foursome doesn't move swiftly ahead of us. Well, it's good, because we are that sort of people, to pause and to hear this word, do more of what you're doing. That is, all the great things by his grace are yours. Daily, you and I, whatever our position in life, can rejoice that the floods of baptismal water descend upon us. We are baptized, not just in the past, but we are presently joined to Christ's death and resurrection. And because of that, we are innocent. We are alive. And daily, right now, not in the future, you enjoy hearing the very voice of Jesus and the words of Jesus. say, thy sins are forgiven thee through the prophetic and apostolic scriptures. Daily, God gives us all that we need for our body and life. And so how we need to let chronology wait in God's holy and infinite wisdom and place all of our focus on Christ, the Christology that has taken us up into the life of God. To have this gift of divine patience is to be a better professor, a better seminary student, a better godly woman, a better grade school student, because it delivers to God, from God to us, the capacity to know who we are and who He is. One might say, how undesirable it is to travel to Hawaii or to Florida or to Switzerland when one can be a seminary student in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We have it all right here. That geography has nothing. It cannot hold a candle to the wonderful topography of this place to have Christ in all of its fullness. If I could share just one little event that happened recently, a grad was placed some 8 years ago in extreme western Nebraska, where there's very little pollution. The wind blows free. And in speaking to those two parishes, we drove 60 miles between services on a Sunday morning. But what was so refreshing was to hear this student talk about how his initial puzzlement and even disappointment had been replaced with such satisfaction and with such contentment as he began to serve the people in that place. In fact, he said, I'm willing to stay here my whole ministry because it is so delightful to catechize, to preach, and to serve these people of God in this place. And you could see on the faces of his people that they knew that was his attitude. So rather than in moments of disappointment, longing for some other place or some other post, let us rejoice that God will fill our calendar. He will fill our days appropriately. And we know how he fills them because we can look to the past. And he fills them with his grace. He fills them with the gifts of his very body and blood. He fills them with opportunities to be in mission and service to our neighbor. Look at your life. It's a record of God's goodness and grace all in Christ. And so contentment is ours. And as we look for the future, we look no farther than the face of Christ in sacred scripture and in his gifts. Rejoice, for he has done all things well and will continue to do all things well. Or as the apostle says, what you are doing, do it more and more. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.